Go ahead and pray, and then we'll get right on into the message tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in the house of God. And Lord, thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for that grace. Lord, we thank you for your grace that still works in our lives today. It is amazing grace, as we sing about. Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask tonight for the Comforter, for the Holy Spirit, Lord, for that anointing to be upon the Word, to minister to the hearts and life of every person here this evening. And Lord, for the seed that's going to go forward tonight. Lord, I ask for that anointing to preach and teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing that we can hear and receive everything that the Spirit of God is speaking tonight. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen, amen. In Luke chapter number 19, we're going to get into this passage where Jesus is explaining a parable of the talents. And one of the things about the parables of the talents is God expects expansion. Amen. Whenever you talk about the parable of the talents and Jesus giving each person certain gifts or abilities and talents, one of the things that God expects or looks for in our life is a multiplication. He looks for an amplification of what God's done. Amen? What that speaks to, let me help you out here. What that speaks to is that whenever God does something in your life, he's not expecting you to be dormant about it. He's not expecting you to sit on your hands and say, oh, that was lovely. I'll have another glass of tea. What God's looking for in your life is whenever he begins to drive out the enemy in your life, whenever God begins to drive out the darkness in your life, whenever God begins to comfort you in the midnight hour, he's not looking for you to stay dormant, but God's looking for an expansion of the kingdom of God in your life, not only in your life, but in the people around us. Amen? God's looking to further his kingdom in our generation. Amen? Isn't that the way that the Lord prayed? He taught the disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done on where? On earth as it is in heaven. You go back and you look at the Lord's prayer and God's desire. You can see it through this model prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That tells us that in heaven, the kingdom of God advances exactly where it needs to go. But on earth, there's resistance. There's resistance on earth. Amen. We have people that are what we call bump on a log. And Jesus goes through this parable of the talents. And you know, one of the things, I don't know if you remember, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but one guy, you know, got 5 and 3 and 1, and one multiplied to 10 and to 5. And the guy with the 1, he didn't multiply any. He just buried that thing. And Jesus rebukes him for it, right? Because he took what God gave him and he didn't do anything with what God gave him. And it's not about the 10 becoming 20 or the 5 becoming 50. It's about using what God's done for his glory. I want you to know that if you're a child of God, you've got a testimony. And God's desire in your life is to see that testimony expand the kingdom of God, that other people could know and understand how you came out of darkness and into light was by believing upon the Lord Jesus. The way that you came out of the sin that held you in bondage was by you believing on the Lord Jesus. The way that you are walking in victory today is not because you learned how to speak Greek or Hebrew, but because you believe in the power of God and you're submitted to the hand of God. Amen? God's looking for you and I to be those visible emissaries of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you a story. One time, when we first bought our house, me and Sister Lindsay, we moved in. We had nothing. We started with nothing. I mean, nothing. I wasn't planning on getting married. I wasn't planning on that. I was going to be the Apostle Paul, right? I wasn't planning on getting married, so I had nothing. I got rid of everything I owned, and then I got married, and I was like, okay, I guess I better get a chair or something. But anyways, when we moved into our house, we had nothing, and we moved into this 3-bedroom house, and I'm like, man, it looks terrible because we got this little chair right here. We got this little thing here, and it looks so empty. It looks so big. It looks so vast. But you know what? Right now, if you go back and you look at it, we're like, we got this big family, and we're crammed in this little place. Because you know what we've done? We've expanded. Amen. Our family's expanded. And we're filling in the voids. We're filling in those places where there was nothing. Amen. And I want to tell you, I believe what God's speaking tonight in our life is that some of us have room to grow. Some of us are not occupying all the territory that God's given us. Some of us are holding back on God. And I want to tell you, God, you know, if me and Sister Lindsay would have been comfortable in that big house with our little bitty chair, you know, we'd be just right there right now. But praise God, we've expanded, and now we're just filled to the brim. Amen? I mean, there's never a dull moment in the house. There's always something falling apart, somebody cracking a joke, somebody doing something. The house is full. Amen? When it comes to our walk with God, God expects us to grow. God expects there to be growth. As a child of God, you should be growing in your knowledge of God. You should be growing in your love and your devotion to God. You should be more committed to God today than you've ever been. You should be walking in a deeper walk with God today than you did yesterday. Our prayer life should be increasing. Our knowledge and understanding of the Word of God should be increasing. Amen. The power of God and the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life should be advancing in our life. We should be expanding, amen? Not just sitting. Not just, well, I'm all right. I believe, like I said, the thing that God's wanting us to understand tonight is that there's room for expansion in our life. God's given us, I want you to know, as a child of God, God's given you the keys to the kingdom. There's no gate of hell that will not prevail against you. There's no mountain that God won't move for the child of God. I'm telling you, when you begin to operate in faith, God will begin to move the mountains. The shackles and the chains will be broken off of people's lives. But God's looking for a people that'll have what? Faith, that will believe and that will go. That'll be active in the kingdom of God. Amen. In order for you to do what God's called you to do, you've got to expand. You can't stay where you're at and stagnate. In the kingdom of God, you can't be stagnant. What we call that, if you go over to the book of Revelation, we call a stagnant Christian a lukewarm Christian. And everybody knows what happens to a lukewarm Christian, right? What happens to a lukewarm Christian? Jesus said he'll spew you out of his mouth. A lukewarm Christian is someone that is comfortable where they're at. They're not really going backwards, but they're not going forward. Amen. Now, let me go ahead and get into this word tonight so we can see what the Lord's talking about. I just want to see this in verse number 12 and 13. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. This passage here, and you can read the rest of it later, but God's expectation for the kingdom, and this correlates with Jesus as he gave the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to the church. And each one of us, according to the Holy Spirit, have been given different gifts, different callings, but it's the same effectual work of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, but he expects us to occupy until he comes. Now, this word occupy is pretty powerful. It just means like the air inside of a balloon occupies that space. Amen? But what happens whenever that air is diminished? The balloon gets smaller and smaller and smaller and has less of a size. Amen? And what we see in the church world today, I believe, is God is calling us to a place where we begin to expand and occupy more of the territory that God's given us. One of the challenges that we have in our Christian life is to not get complacent. Complacency is one of the areas that the devil really and truly uses in a Christian's life to get them off the battlefield. Complacency is one of the silent killers in the church. You may not be murdering people. You may not be robbing a bank. You may not be doing any of the outward, you know, the big sins. You may not be sitting at a computer in pornography. You may not be going to the liquor store to buy Jim Beam. You may not be, you know, going out and doing things you shouldn't do. But when you're complacent, you're not effectual for the kingdom of God. And you look at this word here, God said to occupy till he comes. That means in every area of my life, not one area, not two areas, not the area that's easy, but God's called me to occupy until he comes. That means in every area that God reveals to me, he wants me to influence it for the kingdom of God. There's places in my life where I need to stand in the gap. There's places in my life where I need to stand at attention. I might need to pray for this one. I might need to fast for that one. I might need to sow a word of encouragement into this one. This one might need a word of rebuke, a correction, but I might need a word from the Lord. But we've all got to be in that place to where we're occupying territory for the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God advances in this generation. I want to tell you what our world needs today is not Republicans and Democrats. What our world needs today is God. Our world needs God so much right now. We are so fractured and divided. Hopelessness and depression and darkness is creeping up very faster than you think. There is a dark spirit coming on the world today, and I believe it is high time for the church of God to occupy territory for the kingdom of God. We've got to come out of our complacency and be a man of God. Be a woman of God. Be a family set on fire for God. We have got to be the kind of people that occupy territory for the kingdom of God. You can't have this dichotomy of Sunday religion anymore. God's looking for you to be a light in a dark world. God's looking for you to expand the kingdom of God. Amen? I believe as I go back and I remember, I'll never forget how it looked whenever we moved into our house. And there was just so much void. There was so much of the house that was unoccupied. But God had given all of it to us. But we just didn't occupy any of it yet. And I believe in the church world, it's the same thing. There's so much that we could do to change hearts and lives today. You realize that you have listened to sermon after sermon, Bible study after Bible study. You know more about the Word of God. You know more about the God of the world. You know more about these things than the world does. And it's time for us to go out into the world with what we have in the anointing of God. And begin to occupy territory for the Lord. I want to tell you, you know, whenever Israel came into the land, God didn't give them the land right away. How many of you remember that? Whenever they came into the land, they had to go through a series of battles. You might feel like, man, I got to go through a series of battles too. Well, that just means you might be a child of God. A series of battles doesn't mean you're not a child of God. It means God's doing something. God has a reason, a plan, and a purpose for everything that he does. Everything he does has a precise plan and a purpose. There's things that God does we don't understand on the front side till we get to the back side. Amen. How many of you been in a situation you didn't know what in the world God was doing? You didn't know how God was going to get you through this. You had no idea why this happened. But now on the back side, you look at it and you say, man, God was doing something in me. God was doing something in me. God was teaching me to be patient. God was teaching me about long suffering. God was teaching me to believe. Nothing changed until I fasted and prayed. God teaches us through our situations. Amen? If you knew it all going into it, you wouldn't need faith. If you knew it all going into it, you wouldn't need faith. But in order for you to be a child of God that begins to grow in the gifts of God, that begins to grow the kingdom of God, to occupy territory, God's literally given you. You're going to have to operate in faith. Let me show you something in Exodus chapter 23 tonight. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 23. As God begins to give the land to the nation of Israel, he says this to them. Exodus 23. And let's move down to verse number 29. It said, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. Listen to verse 30. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. I want to show you something. God, whenever God gave the kingdom, whenever God gave the land to Abraham, and you know there's a fight over the land right now. There's a big fight over the land right now. But God gave that land to Abraham. It was his, and it's his to his seed for all generations. It's an everlasting covenant that God made to Abraham. But when God gave that title deed to Abraham, he didn't break it up at that time. He just said, I'm giving you all of it. But whenever Joseph and all his family were delivered out of Egypt and God brought them into the promised land, God didn't give them the whole thing, part and parcel. God didn't give them the whole land. God gave it to them little by little. I want you to remember that word, little by little. I want you to begin to believe God for little by little to increase in the things in your life, to begin to occupy a greater territory for the kingdom of God, little by little. I want you to begin to believe for those little steps. How many of you know that the first step that you got to take is a little step? Amen. Just take that first step. Whenever Peter was in that boat and Jesus called him out of the boat to walk on the water with him, that first step was the hardest one. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I'm in a boat and the Lord calls me to get out the boat, the first step's the hardest one. Second step's a little bit easier because I'm already there. But the first step's a little bit hard. But in order for us to be men and women of God that grow in the kingdom of God, it takes that first step. And some of you in here, you've got to get past your phobia of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to tell you that. Because in order for us to go forward in the things of God, we're going to need the power of God in our life. We're going to need the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. God gives the Holy Spirit in for our health, for our well-being, to keep everything on track the way God wants it to be. And we're going to have to get past our phobia of the Holy Ghost. We're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to look at the Word of God and let God's Word be true. Amen. But we're not going to expand or further the kingdom of God if we're holding back on God and we're limiting God on how he can give us the land. When the first city that Joshua and the nation of Israel came up to was Jericho. And when they came up to Jericho, Jesus told them how to take the city. Y'all remember that, right? How many of y'all know what a Jericho march is? Okay, when Jesus told Joshua and all of Israel to do the Jericho march, how many of you know that it worked? It worked. But how many of you know what the second city was that they took over? Ai. And you know what? God didn't tell them to march around that thing. But you see, the way we operate, we would say, oh, that's the way it worked yesterday. Let's go march around that thing. Let's go do an Ai march. Because we don't want to trust God for the increase, for the next step. We want to rely on yesterday's manna. We want to hold to what happened, what worked yesterday. Instead of trusting God for a new work, a deeper work today, we want to hold on to what was yesterday. And I believe the message that God wants to get through to us tonight is that there's room for growth, but in order for you to grow, you're going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to trust Him, and you're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. But God expects us to grow. Amen? I mean, whenever we have children, we expect them to grow. We take a little pencil, and we stand them up on the little thing, and we put a mark where their head is, and then the next year we put another mark where their head was, and we expect them to grow. It's a logical expectation. And when God deposits the Holy Ghost in the church, it's a logical expectation of heaven to see growth, to see us go forward in the things of God, to begin to occupy what once occupied us. There are things in our life where these things once held us captive that we couldn't get past. But I want you to know that we have the victory in Christ. You may not have everything yet, but you should be advancing toward that thing. You should be marching toward that thing little by little. Little by little, you need to be moving forward, advancing in the name and in the authority of Jesus, knowing that He's given all authority to Jesus Christ, and He has sent you out as emissaries into the world today to occupy for the kingdom of God. God's called us to go and advance His kingdom little by little. Amen. Sometimes you've got to be methodical about it. You got to pray over this situation for 3 months before you see daylight on it. Amen. and then you see a little bit of daylight, and then the devil comes and he shuts that door. Amen. Well, you got to go back to your knees and you got to say, Lord, you said that all authority in heaven and earth was given to you, and you're sending us out as emissaries into the world. And Lord, I'm claiming this thing. I'm claiming this thing little by little, Lord. I'm believing for this thing right here, my family. Let my family serve you, God. All my family, every person in my home, I want every person to serve you and love you. And I'm going to believe it little by little. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be like that little engine that could. Amen. I think I can. But I'm going to say, I think God can. I think God can. I think God can. And little by little, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study. I'm going to believe. I'm going to stand in faith. And I'm going to trust God for the increase. There's got to be an expansion of the kingdom of God in our life. Our prayer life needs to develop. Amen. Our knowledge of the Word of God has to expand. Amen. One of my, you know, Apollos in the Bible, he was a man of God, and he knew the Word, and he could preach the Word, but he got around Priscilla and Aquila, and they pulled him aside, and they said, let us teach you a more excellent way. There's got to be a growth. And he was teachable. He said, okay, teach me. Teach me, show me. I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to learn. I don't know how to do this, but I know I need to do it. Amen? But there was a desire to see the kingdom of God grow in other people. And so you see this all throughout the Word of God, this little by little expansion of the kingdom of God. And I believe if you look back at this verse, if you look at how God gave the whole land to the nation of Israel little by little. You see, we want it part and parcel. We want the whole enchilada. We want to walk in and get the, how many of you know sometimes they on TV they give the people the big checks, right? They give them the big checks, the cardboard thing, real big. That's how we want our stuff. We want our stuff to just walk in, get our big thing. But God the whole time is doing things above our pay grade. God's refining us. God's purifying us. God's teaching us. God's growing us. And little by little is how he chooses to give his people the things that they believe for. Sometimes they come quick. Sometimes it's a slow process. But you got to go back to this passage and say, you know what? The nation of Israel had to trust God little by little. They went from one town to the next town to the next town. And they didn't go just whenever they wanted to. They would lose real quick if they did that. They had to wait on God. They had to wait until God said, okay, you can take that city, but don't go to that city. You know, there's things in our life where it's like that, where God says, okay, it's time to deal with this. It's time to deal with this. And I'm telling you from experience, as long as I've served God, I know when God tells you it's time to deal with something, it's best that you deal with that something. Amen? Because God, when God wants to deal with something, there will be a grace on how it's dealt with. You hear me? When God wants to do, if he puts his hand on something and said, okay, look, it's time to deal with this, then you know God's grace is going to be attached to that thing. Amen. And God's looking for you to trust him in that thing. God's looking for you to trust him. I'll never forget, you know, sometimes I like to tell on other people, but sometimes I like to tell on myself. But I'll never forget whenever, and this may be small to you, but it was big to me, okay? But whenever God dealt with me about smoking, this was whenever I first became a Christian. And, you know, I was one of those people, I was like, I'm not going to give that up. I know people that are praying, you know, like, Lord, deliver me from this nicotine. I can't deal with this. And I wasn't one of those. I was fine. I would smoke on the way to church and then spray cologne. You know, I didn't do it around my church friends. But after about a year of serving God, and I got to a place where I really loved God. After about a year, the Lord, I was driving down the highway. I was worshiping. I became a worshiper. I was worshiping. I was just praising God, singing my heart out. And that song was over, and I clicked the radio station back over to country. And when I did, I lit up my cigarette. And by this time, I knew the voice of God. And when I lit up that cigarette, the Holy Spirit said, why didn't you do that while you were worshiping? And as soon as the Holy Spirit said that, I knew, little by little, I knew God was giving grace for this thing to end. He was giving me an off-ramp. I never prayed for deliverance from cigarettes. I never was convicted about it. I just hit it. But when God spoke that, I knew this was the moment God was giving me an off-ramp. If I went with God right now, I'd never have to deal with it again. And can I tell you, I've never shook. I would smoke a pack and a half a day. And I'll tell you, when God spoke that to me, I threw that thing out. I threw all of them out. I never bought another pack. I never had the shakes. I never had to buy a Nicorette. I never longed for another one. I'm repulsed by them now, but I never had any kind of hesitation. I've never had any kind of problem, no setback, no fallback, no fall away from it, because God's grace and anointing was on it. And when God touches something and said, I want to deal with that, he'll put grace on the that, and he'll take the machete, the Holy Ghost machete, and he'll cut it off in the authority and power of the Holy Ghost. You see, when God deals with something, he'll make a clean cut. When you deal with it, you make a mess. Amen. You know, when we try to fix a situation, we try to do it with a cast iron skillet. I told you not to talk to me like that. But when the Holy Ghost deals with a situation, he'll make a clean cut, and he'll deal with that person, and he'll nip it in the bud once and for all. That's how God does things. But you got to go back and you got to look. God loves Israel, doesn't he? And he gave them their inheritance little by little. And God loves you. And there's things in your life as the kingdom of God expands, you need to know and realize he does give things little by little. But there's a continual growth. There's a continual walk. There's a continual commitment. There's a continual expansion. And it is little by little, but that shows you God's looking for you to continue this walk of faith. Where you started at shouldn't be where you're at right now. I don't get a lot of amens. Where you started at is not where you should be right now. You should be growing in the things of God. You should be further, farther, fuller. You should be advancing, and the kingdom of God should be advancing in you. And that's how God grows things. That's how God grows the kingdom of God. But whenever we're not all the way there, whenever we're not fully invested in the kingdom of God, we open ourselves up to bad situations. Bad situations. You know, it's call it a favorite story, but one of the stories, you know, about Solomon. Solomon was set up for success. His dad was the king. His dad was a bloody man, and God wouldn't let him build the temple, right? But he said, your son will. Solomon had set up. I mean, God spoke it. Your son's going to build the temple. Hallelujah. I'm going to build the temple. I mean, all he had to do, it was like God put the T on the fairway and right down the middle. All you got to do is just follow God, and you're going to be able to build the temple. You're going to be a great king. Amen? Amen. Solomon had it all set up. He even asked God at the very beginning for wisdom so that he could guide God's people. He had a heart for God at the beginning. But somewhere along the way, he stopped growing and expanding the kingdom of God. And he began to get full of other things. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11. Let me show you this. 1 Kings chapter number 11. It's a very powerful passage. But in order for the kingdom of God to expand, you're going to have to fully pursue God. You didn't have to go all in on God. How can you expect to grow in godliness if you're not all in? That don't make sense. Nobody expects that in any other realm. But the devil will lie to Christians. Oh, you can stay right where you're at and be a David. No, you're going to have to fully pursue God fully. Fully pursue God all the time. In order to grow in the things of God. It's a full pursuit. In 1 Kings chapter number 11, Solomon, how many of you know Solomon asked for a lot of wisdom and then he married a lot of women? Not wise. Not wise at all. And it shows that he wasn't walking with God in these situations. Amen. How many of you know that there's times in our life that we can walk with God and we can make good choices? And then somewhere along the way, we're no longer going with God. We're not expanding. We're not walking the walk of God, and we'll begin to fill ourselves with what we want, what makes sense to us. Amen. I mean, you know, that's what, you know, you're on the wrong side of the tracks when you start going, well, that don't make sense to me. I'm just going to do it like this. That don't make sense to me. I'm just going to do it like this. Gideon would have never defeated the army of the 300 Midianites. David would have never defeated Goliath. Amen. That don't make sense to me. I'm just going to do it like this. That's a worldly mind. As someone whose mind is not subjected to God. Solomon, here in 1 Kings chapter number 11, look at verse number 4. Well, let's look at verse 3. He said, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. You know, God wants to give you certain things, but sometimes things can turn your heart away from God. And you've got to be very diligent about making sure that your heart belongs to God first. The key to a marriage, we say, is God in the middle and both people loving God. And as this one loves God and that one loves God, they're going to meet fully vested in God. But that's the only way that a godly marriage will work. But if you don't watch out, the things that you pray for, the things that you want can become idols. Amen. I know people that they wanted a car. They want a car. They want a car. They want a car. They want a car. And they believe for a car. They believe for a car. They believe for a car. And then they get the car note. And then they can't come to church. And then they can't come to prayer meeting. And then you don't hear from them anymore. And they got this thing. And they got what they truly wanted. And what they truly wanted sucked all the life of God out of them. And then eventually they just stop serving God because they get so caught up in other things. And how easy is it for us to do that? When it would be so much better if the child of God would just trust God little by little, believing God and trusting his voice. Now he says here that all these women turned his heart. They turned away his heart. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and listen to this, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and here you go, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. He went not fully. What did he do? He stopped occupying. He stopped advancing the kingdom of God. He stopped going forward in the things of God. He stopped moving forward in God little by little. He no longer went fully after God. Now he began to do what he wanted to, when he wanted to do it. And those things that he got locked in, those things that he got entangled in, those things that he began to intertwine in, they turned his heart from the God that he loved. And I know a lot of people, they start out sincere. Amen. How many of you know you can be sincere and sincerely wrong? Amen. You can be sincere, but sincerely wrong. If you don't think that's true, how many of you remember righty tighty, lefty loosey? In the plumbing world, it don't work like that. You think lefty-loosey on certain things, and you'll be tightening that thing. And I guess got to turn it this way, and you'll be breaking stuff. And how many of us do that? Instead of stopping and going after God and following God fully, We stop and we begin to do things the way we think they should be done. And when we do that, we make things so much worse. And Solomon here, he thought, you know what? I've got the kingdom. I've got the temple. I've done what my dad couldn't do. Now it's time for me to have some fun. What's wrong with fun? Is God anti-fun? I can hear him say that. Is God anti-fun? No, God wants all your heart. And when he stopped fully pursuing God, when he stopped fully going after God and being about God's business and being filled with God and occupying territory for God, advancing the kingdom little by little, when he stopped doing that, his heart got turned. And you know what happened? The kingdom was devastated. In fact, what you see going on right now in Israel is still a ramification of what Solomon did. God was so distraught over what Solomon had done that he rent the whole kingdom out. I mean, he was so infuriated with what they had done. They began to worship false gods. The same gods that they drove out at the beginning were the same ones that they began to worship. What do you see in the church today? When the church isn't fully going after God, we begin to bring in sermon aids. We begin to bring in illustrations. We begin to bring in props. We begin to bring in things, amen? We begin to lean on our own understanding. We begin to lean on the wisdom of men. And it's like that in the church, that's only a reflection of how it is in the church folks. You see, the church is a collection of people. And the reason that things go on in the church and we have such a subservient Christianity in America is because people can't tolerate Holy Ghost, hot-filled preaching. They got to have it watered down. They've got to have the sermon illustration with the fog lights and the neon lights. They've got to have the coffee talk jokes. They've got to have the coffee in the foyer. Why? Because that's how we are. We are not fully serving God. Now our churches are not fully serving God. And yet God's called us to occupy these things. So what do I mean by these things? Well, there's different areas in our life, and only the Holy Ghost can take these things. You've got to know and understand, as Israel came into the land, God showed them, first one is Jericho, second one is Ai, and systematically, God methodically went city by city as he desired. He went from this one to that one to this one to that one. And we, as the church of God, likewise need to be going as God leads us. We need to be going after souls. We need to be going after problems that are in our generation. There's a spirit of suicide that we need to be attacking. There's demonic things that we need to be contending against. There's these false ideas and false religions that we need to be bringing and shedding light on. We need to be contending for the faith. We need to be standing in the gap. We need to be bringing these things to attention. But what we see in the church world today is not that. We're not occupying. We're entertaining. We're not occupying. We're entertaining. You see, in our personal life, one of the things that happens is if we're not occupying and growing the kingdom of God, what we need is entertainment. We need entertainment then. But in the church world, it's the same way. When the church is not advancing the kingdom of God, it has to entertain folks. It has to entertain folks. I think it was Spurgeon that said that one day the time's going to come when the preachers are no longer preaching the word, but they're entertaining the goats. And that's one of the things that we see in the world today, is we see the church has become a source of entertainment. The only reason the church has become a source of entertainment is because we, the people, need to be entertained. Because we don't have a heart for God. We're not fully going after God. Now, I'm not talking about you or anybody you know necessarily, okay? I'm just saying in the church world today, God's looking for people to say, you know what? It's time for us to start knocking down these idols in the land little by little. It's time for us to take authority over these issues. There is nothing that is outside the possibility that God can do. God can take the stench of abortion out of America. God can take the stench of the same-sex marriage out of America. We can rebuke and drive out that spirit of suicide. We can rebuke and drive out that spirit of depression. We can take authority over every enemy that is out there in Jesus' name. But we've got to occupy the territory until Jesus returns. We've got to be filled up and full of the Holy Ghost, and we've got to have the boldness in the name of Jesus to go out and take authority over the things that God said He gave us authority over. And until we do, nothing's going to change. Until we do, nothing's going to change. I believe as I started this message, what God spoke to me as I was worshiping, God spoke and He said, there are areas that we are not occupying. We have a lot of territory that we can go out and advance in. God has given this world over to the church. God has given us authority over every dark thing. God has given us the anointing from the Holy Spirit to go out and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to cast out demons. God has called us to go out into the highways and byways and compel the lost to come into the house of God. He has given us that calling and He's given us the anointing, but He's looking for people that'll do the doing, that are willing to go where He's leading them to go and occupy what He's given us to occupy little by little, believing God for every inch that's not taken. Little by little. I want you to hold on to that little by little. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy. I'm going to close over here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at me with this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It's one of my favorite passages over here. I told you earlier that Solomon's problem was that he wasn't fully committed to the things of God. He was only part-time committed. That's how you go from having all these promises of God to marrying all the wives that he did and then having his heart turned. It's because he wasn't fully committed. He was only part-time committed. How many of you know people that are part-time committed? How many of you in your life, you've been part-time committed? Amen. Amen. The Lord's dealing with these things because we're coming up into a season where the spiritual battles are going to get real. And we need to get these things settled. We need to get our house in order. We need to, you know, we need to know and understand that the spiritual battle that's going on right now, the battle belongs to the Lord. But the spiritual battle that's going on right now, It requires us to fully pursue God. We can't part-time do this. Solomon's problem was that he wasn't fully going after God. He was only going after God casually. He was only going after God when convenient. He was only going after God whenever somebody nagged him enough. He was only going after God whenever he felt guilty enough. There was a time in my life before I was right with God, I knew I shouldn't do certain things, and if I felt really guilty, I'd go to church about once every 6 weeks. I'd show up, and then I'd feel like I'm all right for another month and a half. I kind of paid my dues. And that really and truly is where Solomon was. He wasn't fully going after God. He was casually going after God. And whenever you do that, you set yourself up for disaster. Now, the thing I want to show you over here in 2 Timothy, Paul here is giving some last instructions to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor over in Ephesus, and he was his protege. He was a spiritual mentor to Timothy. And Paul had a mindset like none other. Paul had such an awesome mindset. He left everything to enlist in the army of God. And God had this awesome mindset about, God had this mindset that he gave Paul. Paul here is depositing it in Timothy. Look at this in verse number 1. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." In other words, what I'm depositing into you, deposit into others. I'm giving this to you because I want you to give it to others. Do you see the expansion? What if Timothy would have got this letter from Paul, folded it up, and put it in his billfold? What if he would have put it in the paper shredder? Right? But Timothy got this, what you're reading. Timothy got what you're reading from the hand of Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And Timothy read it and he said, okay, Paul wants me to take what he's given me and he wants me to give it to others. So he preserved it. He preserved it. God preserved it through him and expanded. So what God gave to Paul, Paul deposited into Timothy. Timothy, in turn, was used by God to deposit it into you. That's expansion. That's furthering things for God. Amen? That's what God's talking about tonight. God's calling on our life is to not be dormant, to not be satisfied with where we are. And look, you might say, well, what can I do? Well, look at me. What can I do? Well, with that kind of attitude, I don't know. You got to have faith. Paul here was at the end of his life. This is one of the last letters that Paul wrote. Well, what did he do? He wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to a protege. He gave him everything he had. And he said, what I'm giving to you, give it to others. Man, you've walked the walk. You've been through some battles. You've shed some tears. You've stood in the gap. You fought the hard, good fight of faith. Now pour that into others. Tell them what you've done. Tell them what you've been through. Tell them where those battle scars come from. And then tell them to tell others. That's what Paul did right here. And it got down in Timothy. Timothy ended up giving his life for the gospel. He tried to stop a Mardi Gras parade. Amazing. Amazing how God began to multiply this thing. But I want you to see there was an expansion of the kingdom of God. Paul could have said, man, God gave me something good. And he could have just twiddled his thumb and played PlayStation and went to bed. But he didn't do that. He wasn't content to just be complacent. There was a burning in his soul. There was a call of God on his life to occupy territory for the kingdom. And when he knew that, and he knew what God's done in his life, he said, I've got to pour this into someone else. And he began to take what God gave him, and he gave it all to Timothy. And then he told Timothy, hey, take what I'm giving you, and you give it to others. And I'm telling you, what God's depositing in you tonight, what God's deposited in you last year, what God deposited in you the last 5 years, take those things, whatever it is that God's put in you, and you go invest it, sow it into other people's lives, and watch God begin to explode. Watch God begin to grow these things in our generation. We look at things, and I'll tell you what, it's a sad reality when the church just complains and they say, oh, look how hard it is. Look how bad it is. Look how big the enemy is. The church today, a lot of us sound like the nation of Israel when Goliath was out there. Goliath was mocking them, saying, where's your God? And all Israel was just shivering, and they said, well, what are we going to do? Look at the problems in America. How can this thing turn around? Well, it's never going to turn around until the church gets a hold of God and begins to operate in faith and expand the kingdom of God. And I believe God's going to raise up a generation in these days that trust Him. Oh, Brother Moody said one time, he said, there's going to come a generation that's going to blow everybody out the water. They're going to take this book and actually believe every word in it. Come on. God's going to raise up a generation that says, you know what? I'm going to believe everything in this book. And they're going to blow all of us out the water. God's going to do it. Don't look at the world today. Look at how bad it is. Quit telling me how big Goliath is. Start telling everybody how big your God is. Start telling everybody how big your God is. And so Paul here, he deposits this in Timothy. Timothy likewise depositing into others, into us, and us into others as well. But look at these next two verses. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, time will evade us from going into that, but one of the best sermons you could ever listen to is Soldier by Brother Clendenin. If you haven't listened to that, you should, but there is a call on your life to be a soldier. A soldier is someone who's not petty about things, right? Amen. A soldier has enlisted to the end. A soldier is willing to lay down their life for the cause. A soldier has relinquished certain opinions. A soldier has resigned certain opinions. A soldier is willing to go where the leader tells it to go. A soldier is willing to do what their commander tells them to do. A soldier is not going to backtalk the commander. Right? I need you over at sector so-and-so right now. Well, you know, I got to take care of a few things, and I may do that tomorrow. I really don't feel qualified to do that, and, you know, maybe you should pick someone else. That don't fly in the services. And you have been enlisted into the Lord's army. And God here is telling us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And look at this. This will help you out here. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Everybody say this life. That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. I want you to look at that word warreth. No man that warreth entangleth himself. You know why this verse don't apply to a lot of people? Because they're not at war with the darkness around them. They're fine with it. The reason why these kind of verses are not our refrigerator kind of verses or our bumper sticker kind of verses and we don't, you know, kind of get into these kinds of things is because there has to be a warring. A lot of people are fine right where they're at. God told the nation of Israel, little by little, go take the land. But you know what? There's a lot of people that won't even do that. They'll say, I'm fine right where I'm at. I'm fine in Goshen. You know, Goshen's good farmland. I thank you that you're willing to give me the promised land, but you know, I'm fine right here in Goshen. There's a promised land waiting for you. God's given it to you. The title deed was purchased by Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about physical land. I'm talking about your sons and daughters. I'm talking about the land that we live in. I'm talking about our churches being on fire for God, knocking out the devils in the land. I'm talking about winning victories over these dark principalities. The battle belongs to the Lord. But who's in his army? And so he says, no man that warreth, and that's the key. I want you to understand that's the key. Are you warring against darkness? If you're not warring against darkness, it's because you're not occupying for the kingdom of God. But he said, no man that warreth entangles. What does it mean to get entangled with the things and the affairs of this life? It means worldly cares begin to take preeminence over godly cares. Worldly cares take preeminence over godly cares. I'll get to it later, Lord. I'll serve you later, Lord. Jesus said, if you're going to put your hand on the plow, you can't look back, right? Worldly cares are always going to be there, but who's going to tend to the things of God? Here's another one. Here's another way that we get entangled in the affairs of this life. We get preoccupied. We get diverted by things that preoccupy us. It may not even be a worldly care, but we just get diverted by little things. I've seen people get so mad in a church because they didn't get asked to teach a Sunday school lesson. I've seen people get so mad in a church because nobody asked them their opinion on what color something should be. That's when you know you're getting diverted by the devil off of things that truly matter. But I want you to know that it's not above the devil to get you diverted off of those kinds of things. He will get you so fixated on it, he'll say, well, you know, if they really cared about you, they would have asked you to pick that color. If they really cared about you, you know they don't really like you, because if they really liked you, then they would have asked you what your opinion was on this. And he'll get you diverted. Here you are, serving God, following after God. God's working in your life. Things are going forward. And then all the devil's got to do is start whispering little sweet nothings in your ear to get you diverted. And then all of a sudden, you're no longer occupying territory for God. You're no longer advancing the kingdom of God. Now you're diverted on the color of the carpet, the color of the wall, the this, that, or the other. And it happens time after time after time. All the enemy's got to do is put a little piece of cheese on the mousetrap. And they'll get us every single time. The other thing that happens is we get fixated on such minor things. We begin to pursue after worldly gain. You know what? It's good. It's a good thing to have things, I suppose. But it's a better thing to go further and deeper in God. Sometimes we lose sight of what's most important, the betterment of our soul, the betterment of our soul, the betterment of the Spirit of God in our homes, the betterment of our walk with God is far greater valuable than a bigger house, a better job, nicer clothes, all these types of things. Sometimes we get fixated on the wrong things, and I want to tell you, God wants things to expand in your life, but in order for those things to expand, you've got to fully pursue Him. Solomon missed it greatly. He had the whole thing set up for him. I told you, he had the fairway was there, the ball was right in the middle, God set it on a tee. All he had to do was just tee up and just stay right in the middle. But Solomon missed it because he stopped going fully after God. And I want to tell you, Jesus has given all authority. Jesus has given us authority to take dominion over the things that the devil has taken. Amen. How many of you know that song? Go into the enemy's camp and take back what he's taken from me. You know how you can do that? You know how you can do that? Because authority was given to Jesus. And then Jesus sent you out to take authority over these things. In order for that to happen, we've got to be fully vested in the things of God, fully occupying for His kingdom. Amen? Amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to hear the Word of God. And Lord, we ask